Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. How is everybody? You all right? Pretty good? Going to just pop on to our next part on Be Free. Be Free. How many have been enjoying Be Free so far? It's good stuff. I know we did Free Your Mind, and the rest will follow. So did Free Your Mind, and then we, Cheryl last week just killed that thing with talking about your will. And if you didn't understand that, go listen to it again. It's on the website in the archive, and the notes are all there. So follow through with that. That was brilliant stuff. But now we're going to jump into your emotions. How many got some emotions? Y'all got some. Some people suppress them and some people overactivate them, but you all got them. And you shouldn't do either. Your emotions are a very, very healthy thing. But we're going to talk about how to be free in your emotions today. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, ha ha. All right, good, good. So I'm going to jump into your notes here. Look at the slides. You see that? It says John chapter 8, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I know I got set free in some places, but I like the translation better, make you free. Amen? I could set peas before you, that's one thing, or I could make you eat peas, that's a whole different experience. Amen? I could say, son, here's some peas, I'll set them before you. But when I say, I'm going to make you eat those peas, that's a whole different experience. Amen? Aren't you glad that God says the truth will make you free? Amen? I tell you, I'm glad that the truth works in us, and whether you like it or not, I mean, you get the truth in you, and that'll obliterate all bondage. Right in the same chapter, John 8, 36, he said, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Now, that's a rhetorical question. If the Son sets you free, it's rhetorical, because you know what? He does set you free. Does he set you free? Yes. And how free are you? You are free in every single way, free indeed. Galatians 5, verse 1, out of the Amplified, "In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you once put off." Say once. You once put off. You see, when you get born again, you come to Jesus, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, totally set free, totally re-engineered in every single way. You are free, absolutely free. But then he says, now don't be ensnared again. So you got a responsibility to maintain and embrace the freedom with once you were set free. The NLT says, now make sure that you stay free. It's a terrible thing to see somebody who's a believer who's got access to that kind of freedom and liberty walking below the standard of what God established. There's a standard of kingdom living. It's as it is in heaven. That's the standard that we're called to. It's a terrible thing to be living below your privileges. Amen. Amen. All right. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole body, spirit, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now he himself is going to set you apart, completely deal with every aspect of your life, body, soul, and spirit. You're going to be completely whole. So we're dealing with the soul realm here, dealing with your mind, dealing with your will, and today we're going to deal with your emotions. Preserved blameless till the coming of Christ. Jesus didn't come to give you eternal life. He came to give you victorious life, not just eternal life, but victorious life, and not in the sweet by and by, but right now, right absolutely now. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly." It'll be really good then, Pastor. No, it's really good right now. Jesus didn't come to get you into heaven. He came to get heaven into you, not in the sweet by and by, but right now to get his kingdom fully manifest and established in your life and in your heart. Can you give me another slide? Give me one more. All right. Definition from Merriam-Webster of emotion. Are you ready? Emotion. A strong feeling such as love, anger, joy, hate, or fear. A conscious mental reaction as anger or fear subjectively experienced. Say subjectively. It's interesting. Subjectively experienced. So something that manifests in your conscious world, but it's subjectively experienced. A strong feeling usually directed toward a specific object, typically accompanied by psychological and behavioral changes in your body. Your emotions, your lack of control or your control of them, your emotions do affect your physical well-being. Amen. it really is true. It's scientifically true. Now, a lot of what I'm going to share today, a lot of it comes out of a couple books by Carolyn Leaf. I was going to bring them out here to show you, but one is Who Switched Off My Brain, or Who Switched Off Your Brain. We've got that in the Resource Center, which is being moved right over here, being as we open some walls up over there. So we'll have that. We have some of those. We don't have the other one, The Gift in You, which is also deals with emotions, but a great, great book. But Carolyn Leaf, a lot of what I'm sharing today comes from her, and I'll quote from her. But you're a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. Now, it's hard to see some of that, but it's on the notes on the website, so you can see that. You can go visit it again. But body, soul, and spirit, and we've been dealing with the soul realm, where your mind, your will, and your emotions. But you see, your emotions are tucked under that subconscious mind place. See where it says subconscious mind? You see that? Right on the right-hand side beside the heart. It says in the subconscious mind, there's your beliefs, your attitudes, your feelings, your emotions, and your memories. You see, your emotions are actually not in your conscious mind, but they're in your subconscious. So they're in, or others say, the non-conscious. They're in that place. That's where your emotions come from. So I just want to show you that, and that'll be in your notes, and you can take a look at it. Now, the subconscious mind is like a big memory bank that stores all your previous life experiences, your beliefs, your memories, your skills, all situations you've been through, and all images you've ever seen. Those things are all stored in your subconscious. That memory bank has all that stuff. It's incredible, the capacity of your brain. And your brain, your subconscious, is able to do that. So this information that is stored in your subconscious mind always affects your behavior and actions in a different situation. And you know, some people respond to it differently because some people, because of their starting point, because of where they've begun, and that's why you're raising and how you were raised was really, really important, because they say the first 4 years of your life is where your whole worldview is shaped. And you see, you'll have things put on you then that literally shape how you see the world. Some people will have an experience that won't be as devastating as another. Like my girlfriend, when we went to prom, we showed up and we lived in a small town in Peterborough. There weren't too many dress shops. So when we got to prom, all of a sudden she looked around and went, oh my goodness, there's another girl. She got the same dress as me. She went, oh, I can't believe it. I knew that would happen. And, you know, that lady said there weren't that many dresses around, didn't sell any enough. Same dress as me. Then she turned around, oh my goodness, there's another one. By the time we were done, there was 10. There's 10 girls all with the same dress. You know what? At first it was, that's a bummer. But then they all got together, started taking pictures. They sat at the same table. They hung around with each other. And I was lost for the rest of the night. That became her company. And it wasn't a bad experience anymore. They changed the whole perspective of it. And then the emotion attached to it. Isn't this fun? Isn't this great? Friends forever! And so it's all about perspective. It's all about how you can shape something. It's all about sometimes how you're brought up. And as I told somebody the other night, I was brought up with a wonderful complex. So everything in my life goes through a wonderful filter because I'm wonderful. If a bad thing happens, I go, that's not right because I'm wonderful. I only experience good stuff. Delete that right away because my life is wonderful. Amen. Thank God for my mom and dad for creating me and shaping my wonderful mindset. And I found out later in life, when I was in Bible school, in counseling class, they'd have people that would start to share stuff about their pains and their hurts. And I can remember one time I put my hand up and said, and then she finally said, Carl, what have you got to share? And I said, hey, over there, grow up. You're going to be in ministry soon. Stop being a suck. My professor was horrified. It was unbelievable. I'm just like, what am I doing here? I gave up a career to come down here and go in ministry, and people are, you know, somebody looked at me the wrong way in the hallway. Who cares? You know, she wrote on my final term paper, I still have it, in big red letters. She gave me a good grade, but she also wrote in big red letters, as you go into ministry, Carl, I pray the Lord gives you a heart. In red letters, didn't she? Did she? She sure did. And you know what, a couple years later, I invited her to come and minister at the church, and I forgave her for that nasty comment. I thought that wasn't very emotionally mature for somebody who was teaching the course. But anyways, but I could handle it. I deleted it because I'm wonderful. Exactly. It's good. So, praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord. It's all good. So now, just going to do a little exercise. You ready? I'm going to do a little exercise. I want you to help you distinguish between your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. Are you ready? A little exercise. You ready? I want you to take 5 deep breaths. You ready? Yeah, I got an oxygen overtake there. But you know, you just took consciously, you took over something your subconscious does with this breathing. Aren't you glad every day doing, okay, breathe. Okay, breathe. And you're not doing it. It's not just a heartbeat. There are things that happen in your body, all kinds of things that your subconscious takes care of every day for you that you have no idea they are going on in your whole world. But you just stepped into a conscious place. You took over a subconscious activity by consciously breathing. I don't know, but I did the exercise a few times, and I went, breathe. I was like, man, I was wondering, was my subconscious going to take over? But it does. It really does. So that is your conscious mind taking over the subconscious. Your subconscious is said to be a million times stronger than your conscious mind or will. So that's why we talked about mind first, then we talked about will, but then we get to this place of emotions and subconscious. Because you can be dealing with things in the mind and dealing with things in the will, but you see, your subconscious mind, no matter how much you're thinking or how much you're desiring or willing, your subconscious is already a million times stronger in any of those areas of your soul realm. A million times. That's pretty well. Not two times, not even 100 times. But it's so powerful in how it affects your life. Can I get an amen? All right. So since emotions are triggered by the unconscious or subconscious mind, it is impossible to stop them. That's interesting, isn't it? That's a pretty strong statement. Have you ever got really, really mad and then wondered, where did that come from? Like, I didn't walk into work today expecting to blow up at people. Like, I didn't say, man, am I ever glad I'm up today? I'm just going to go get angry with people today. Woo! I tell you, I'm writing the script right now. I'm going to tear somebody. Woo! Bam! Pow! That doesn't usually happen, you know? But there's times you're in a situation, all of a sudden your heart rate goes up and your face gets flushed and, you know, things start to happen. And you're like, and literally you're thinking right there, stop it. Settle down. Don't do this. And all of a sudden, boom! And you're like, and your conscious mind just got completely hijacked by your subconscious. Hello. It's never happened to you, I know. Only me. Yeah. I was saying to one of our elders the other day that I remember we were in an elders meeting, and the elders in that meeting, we were talking about different things and finances, where things were, and then they said, you know, we've talked, and we want to give you a 10% raise. And when they said that, I immediately started to cry. And I went, I'm sorry, I apologize. I said, I'm really sorry. And I went, and I'm sitting there going, I don't want to do this. This is embarrassing. What am I crying about? And it felt really, really weird that out of nowhere, I began to cry. And my wife said, somewhere deep down inside of you, you had some rejection that hasn't been dealt with. And anyway, so just here. But sometimes you wonder, what do you got going in there? There's some pain. There's some things going on. And then suddenly favor came your way and something happened your way. And you went, wow, I don't even know how to receive. That is so weird. Is everybody okay? Yeah, that was my daughter when she was, I think she was two, and she had a messy day. She went into Vaseline, messed up stuff, had Vaseline all over her hair, did a bunch of stuff. And is that another day? She was just being bad that day. The Vaseline was another day. Anyway, she'd had a bad day. There were several spankings that day. We don't spank anymore. That's apparently not good. But anyways, but she'd had a really bad day, and it was her birthday. And, you know, so at her birthday, we had this nice dinner, had my mom and dad there and everybody. Then all of a sudden, we brought out a cake and laid the cake. I went, happy birthday, Carly. She just began to cry. At 2 years old, she went, just started to cry. And we're like, it was like, she was uncontrollably sobbing. We're like, what's going on? And she said, I can't believe I'm having a cake in my birthday when I've been so bad today. Even at 2 years old, this whole I'm bad right there, somewhere in that, her subconscious had reinforced inside of her that you now, for the rest of your life, never deserve anything good to happen to you. Isn't it amazing how that can happen? So sometimes, is anybody tracking with me? You're okay? You're all right? All right. All right. So emotions are triggered by the unconscious. It's impossible to stop them sometimes. But knowing that the conscious mind processes thoughts, which are the primary trigger of emotions, you can easily control your thoughts and in turn control your emotions. Say, thank you, Pastor. All right. Now, a couple quotes from Dr. Carolyn Leaf. And I really encourage you. I think we're going to offer these in our small groups in the fall, offer one or two of these books, because they're really, really great. And it takes forever for me to explain the whole thing, but you could go through the course with her. But Carolyn Leaf, in her book, The Gift in You, page 143, she said, an attitude is a cluster of thoughts with an emotional flavor. And every type of emotion has one of two roots, either love or fear. Love and fear are the roots of emotions, and all other emotions grow from these. These two cannot coexist. You can't manifest love and fear at the same time. They cannot coexist and cannot express themselves at the same time. So you're either going to operate emotionally out of fear or out of love. They can't coexist. It says, love and fear are the root of emotions, all emotions. They can't coexist, that at any one moment, one will be in operation and not the other. And I'll give you another quote from her, page 146, all right? It says, science is, say science. Now, Dr. Leaf, she's a good born-again Christian. This teaching, actually, I believe that she's a fivefold teacher to the body of Christ in this area, really helping the body of Christ deal with things. It's really brilliant what she's been able to do. It says, science is showing that there is massive unlearning. Say unlearning. There is a massive unlearning of negative toxic thoughts when we operate in love. The brain releases a chemical called oxytocin. Sounds a little bit like Oxycontin. So, but there's a chemical that you can naturally create, a chemical that is released, which literally melts away negative toxic thought clusters so that you are rewired. There's a rewiring of new non-toxic thoughts. Love literally wipes out fear. I think that's in the Bible somewhere, don't you think? It says perfect love drives out all fear. Isn't this amazing that science is actually saying, wow, the Bible might be right. You know, love drives out, love conquers every bit of fear. Give me another quote from Carolyn Leaf in Who Switched Off My Brain, page 20. Emotions such as hate demand more and more space physically in the brain. Like weeds, they grow in abundance, crowding everything else out. Memory and emotions, like body and mind, are inseparable. Inseparable. So memories and emotions are inseparable. You see, when you have experience or events or thoughts, every interaction you have is building something in your brain. And in her book, she shows how these things are built. She uses all the amazing connections, all the big science names about your cerebral cortex, your blah, 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 all those different things, the neuropeptides that, you know, don't flow when you get angry and nasty. And see, those things are what keeps your body healthy. And when you get angry and you get full of fear, it blocks those. They stop flowing and your body gets toxic. 87% of sickness comes from your emotional realm and the way you think. True. I mean, it's scientific. Don't bug me. I looked it up. All right. So it takes up more space, and literally they can study your brain. If I could have a volunteer and we could saw open your head today. Thank you, Jeff. But if we really could saw open your head, we literally would be able to see in your head, we could see trees of thought clusters. And these develop in your mind, and some are very healthy and look like really healthy trees. Number 14, your child needs you. Some of them are very, very healthy and look very healthy, and there's great interactions between them. But there's other ones that look unhealthy, and literally when they study them, it looks like thorns. It looks like thorns have grown in your brain. And then here's the other interesting thing. Negative thoughts take up weight. 19. My God, there's a revival in the nursery. I mean, toxic thoughts, it says, take up way more space and they start to press out. And I mean, there's less room for good stuff to be built because the toxic stuff you allow to remain literally takes up more space and physically disables your head. And you can't live right, think right, behave right because of the problems in your mind. So you got to deal with that. Can I get an amen? Now, I love that, the way they talk about attitudes, because it develops a cluster of thoughts to develop an attitude. And an attitude is what you do emotionally. Have you ever gone into a home and you realize there's an attitude in a home? You ever gone into a city and there's an attitude in a city? You ever go into a church and there's an attitude in that church? I love that a lot of times the feedback we get from people who visited here, they say what I like, and most often they say it's real and really genuine and very authentic. And I like that because that's actually the culture we're trying to create, is something that's open, free, and authentic and real and genuine. So I like that we get that feedback, but we actually want to have that attitude. We want to have that here. We want to have that manifestation of unconditional love where anybody can come, bring your Bible and your problems, because we all got some. So it's a good thing to do, but you can have an attitude. In our family, we have a bit of an attitude in our family. It's because I grew up wonderful. And so we're wonderful. So somebody says something bad about us, that can't be right because we're wonderful. And we have a bit of an attitude. We really do. And you know, we develop that because we have framed that attitude in our minds that God's good, He loves me, I'm His child. There, you think of some of the songs we sang today. It was I'm free from fear because I am a child of God. You know what we were doing? We were reprogramming your head. We were speaking the fear in your mind. We were reshaping and readjusting and getting rid of the toxicity in there and saying, you're a child of God. That toxic stuff has to go. You can replace that fear and toxicity with the love of God. And so it's over and over again trying to help people get through their stuff. Say, move along, Pastor. God made you an emotional being. You create your emotions, and God holds you accountable for your emotions. God holds you accountable for your emotions, for better or for worse. I feel good today because you just told me I can't control my emotions. That's awesome. I've been telling people that for years. I'm out of control. You know, you have emotions. You created them, and you know what? You can deal with non-toxic things, and you can build new clusters in your head and straighten things out. Amen. We're talking about emotional freedom today. Deal with your emotional baggage. Please, don't be an emotional nightmare. Amen. Turn to your friends and say, don't be an emotional nightmare. All right. God holds you accountable for your emotions. Now I'm going to read Deuteronomy 28. It's got blessings and curses, and we're in the new covenant, so thank God we come through the cross. So Jesus took the curse, and we can achieve and walk in the blessing. But here's what God said to His people. He said, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you'll serve your enemies. So God is saying, I provided for you, and I want you, when you serve me, I want it to be with joy and gladness. Sunday morning, got to go to church again. Man, hope Pastor's good today. Hope the Holy Spirit shows up for a change. Walter, stop that. Amen. You're manifesting. You should be happy. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. See, when you serve the Lord, it should be joy. It should be gladness. It should be with that. God is seeking a proper attitude even when you serve Him and when you pursue His purposes. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your soul. Hey, who did it? Who did that? Since you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. See, you can't love each other fervently if you haven't dealt with the soul issues and the negative trees and the attitude clusters that are toxic in your head. But thank God Jesus set us free from all that, and He made us right even in our emotional realm. I have the mind of Christ. Let this attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Attitude. That attitude, that desire, those healthy clusters to serve in obeying the truth with sincere love. Now, the soul is the realm. It's some places it's called life, but it's called psuche. Say psuche. There's three types of life. There's your bios, there's your psuche, and then there's your soma. Your soma is your body, your real life. There's your psuche, your bios, and your soma is your body. That's your living body. So psuche, though, is the realm of your soul realm. Psuche, the word psuche is the soul, the seat of your feelings, desires, affections, and aversions. It's the area of your heart. It's your soul realm. So that's your psuche. It's your inner man. It's that area where you contain and pack all of that stuff. Say psuche. All right. So then in James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So how do you save your soul? You save your soul. See, there's something that can be done. The negative, toxic things that are in your mind, you can change that. You don't have to say, this is the way it is, and I'm stuck like this, you know, and this is my attitude. This is my approach to life. You can literally rewrite those things, and you can change the way it is. The word for filthiness is ruparia. Sounds a little bit like diarrhea, but it's ruparia. So there's that. And then there's the kakia, which sounds a little bit like caca. So it's all bad, it's all messy, but you know, you can get your emotions fixed up, which means, let's make it simple for you, ready? You can get the ruparia and the kakia out of your suke. Get the ruparia and the kakia out of your suke. Just turn to your neighbor and say that twice. Get the ruparia and the kakia out of your suke. And it says you can do that. It says you can literally deal with that and you can straighten out your life. receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able, the implanted word, implanting new words, implanting new fresh thoughts, which is able to save your souls. I thought I was already saved. You are. You're born again. Your spirit man was made alive with God. But there's things in your head, there's still toxic things in your head that you need to confront with the word of God, with the power of God, and you need to work on that to get that out of your head. Say amen, somebody. David said this. He said, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. There's a fear. I'm afraid. When I was afraid, what do you do when you're afraid? You put your trust in God. You focus yourself. You direct yourself. You employ yourself. Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Psalm 42, 11, why, my soul? Speak to yourself. Why, my soul? I like the message. It says, praise the Lord, I tell myself. You got to tell yourself something. This is the way we're going to do this. You got to reprogram some things. Oh, I just feel terrible today. And I love what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, I never ask myself how I feel. I tell myself how I feel. You got to tell yourself how you feel. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for he will raise you up. God will. Come on, praise him. He is my Savior and my God, right? Come on, speak to yourself. Call the pastor. You're feeling miserable. No, speak to yourself. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18. Rejoice always. People get mad at me when I say it's all good. It's not all good, Pastor. People are getting killed in the Middle East. There's stuff going on. Nepal had an earthquake. It's not all good. I go, it's all good. I'm speaking to that right now in the name of Jesus. It's all good. I tell you, it's all good. I speak goodness. I loose the goodness of God. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because that's the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. 1 Peter chapter 1, 7 and 9 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom you have not seen yet you love. You got a revelation of Jesus who you haven't seen and yet you love him. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, the salvation of your psuche. How do you get salvation manifest in your psuche? I'm believing something, I'm rejoicing that it's on its way, and I'm receiving it right now by going, ha, ha, ha. Settle down. You folks are just far too excited today. I can barely take it. Look what it says. Believing, rejoicing, receiving. Literally, you gotta confront those negative, nasty things in your head that are literally blocking the manifestation of God's goodness in your life. If you got a revelation of Jesus Christ, you didn't see him, yet you believe in him. If you got that revelation, believing that, you are now ha, 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 and you are receiving the salvation of your soul. If your soul's not being saved, if you're not experiencing a manifestation of life and liberty in your soul realm, then you better get on the rejoicing wagon. And what does it mean, rejoicing with joy unspeakable? How many know what joy unspeakable is? I'll give you some speakable joy. I am so happy. I'm feeling so wonderful today. God is so good. Praise him, praise him, praise him. That's speakable joy. What is unspeakable joy? And it's the same everywhere in the world. I was in Taipei, and they got it. It was, but anyways, it was all good. What I'm trying to say to you today is there is no need to have toxic attitudes and to have toxic behavior and allow your emotions to ruin your future and your life. Because your attitudes are literally, they are your front man. They're your PR man. Your attitude goes before you. Before anybody talks to you or anybody says anything to you, your attitude is 10 miles out front, screaming who you are. And you know, your attitude should be screaming, I'm a child of God. I got a wonderful complex, and you can have one too. And that's what should be in front of you. And every time somebody runs into you, you radiate the goodness, the joy, and the glory of God. I'm battling depression, Pastor. You need to change some things. You need to work on it. We're going to gently reprocess some of the trees in your life. See, I used to say get over it. I used to say grow up, shake yourself. But now I realize those are very real trees that need to be dismantled. You can't just say stop thinking that way. You're going to have to pierce through and address some issues in your subconscious man. You're going to have to deal with that. Give me another slide. That's what I say. 5 ways to confront toxic clusters. Aren't you excited about that? You ready? Five ways. I tell you, I should. My bibliography for this sermon is huge. I read all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of ways, all kinds of things. And Carolyn Leaf has a bunch more. She's got a whole how to detox in the back of her book. Fantastic. But I'm just going to give you five. You ready? Number one, action. Action. Here's the first thing. I can't run. You know what you do when you feel like you can't run? Run. I can't lift. You know what you do when you feel like I can't lift? Lift. You see, somebody tells you that box is too heavy for you. Oh, well, I won't try then. That's too heavy for you. Well, I guess I'll just leave that alone then. You know, sometimes you got to quit letting somebody else tell you what your world is and what you can or can't do. Sometimes you just got to act and get out there, pick it up and do it. Well, I can't do math. I've never been good at math. Go take a course on math. Do the math. Oh, but I can't do math. Do the math. Yes, you can. That's Barack Obama. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. You know, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I looked up all things. You know what it means? All things. You know what it includes? Math. I could never public speak, Pastor. That's terrifying. Then publicly speak. That's just a rotten fear. That's something that's trying to shape your life. Tell it no way. I will not be manipulated or formed by any negative toxic thought. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, I can't sing. That's true. You can't. Amen. So, we saw some singers last night. Amen. But you know, if you don't feel like you can sing, go take some lessons. Do something about it. I can't play the guitar. I'll never play. Go do something. I mean, action is the first way you can confront toxic clusters, because you know what you're going to say to what's wrapping away in your subconscious? You're going to say, no, you don't dominate me. My past feelings, things said about me, experiences I had, I can't water ski. I tried. They were boats trying to pull me up. I can't water ski. Yes, you can. Get out there in the water and let's get her done. There's silly things people just don't do or never attempt because somewhere in their subconscious, it's screaming, you can't, you can't, you can't. Yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Number one's action. Number two, mentoring. Say mentoring. Mentoring, Pastor? Yes. Doesn't sound very spiritual. It's very spiritual. In fact, this was a secular magazine said that mentoring, it says a trusted source, what a trusted source or that person says to you goes directly to your subconscious without any filtration. That means if you develop a relationship with a trusted source, for better or for worse, because you can have people that are miserable people speaking into your life. I've run into people that I have no idea why, but they let authority figures in their lives are total idiots who've never achieved anything, and yet whatever they say is gospel. You know, you need to put people in your life, build people in your life that you really, really trust, people that are achieving things and doing things and really have mastered some things. It says when you get those people in your life, literally, it'll go right past your consciousness and they'll be able to write things right on the subconscious mind. You'll be able to change things because you built somebody in your life who you absolutely trust and they'll speak good things over your life. And it's good. Well, what do you, Pastor? I mean, my goodness. Philippians 3:17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. It's in the Bible. There's patterns. There's people. You should be in a relationship with people that will help you, that will nurture you, that will correct you. You know what? If you're just carrying on with life and living in your own little mind and just the little toxic friends you have, it's time to change who you're hanging out with. Well, I just hang out with everybody who thinks like me. That's the problem. Lift it higher. Challenge it. Challenge it a little bit. Number three. Belief system. They said people who have a belief system are able to change areas of their subconscious. People who don't believe anything are subject to anything because they don't believe nothing. But you see, when you got a belief system, it says this information will go directly to your subconscious mind. It'll program it and turn it to solid beliefs. Interesting stuff, eh? So, you know what? There's people, all kinds of people have belief systems. It doesn't even matter what it is. You can have a belief system in something, some religion or something you believe in that literally can impact your life. You know, but here's the thing is that we do have a belief system. You have one. And you should always be conforming every single thing to the word of Christ. You should be subjecting everything. This is my belief system right here. You know, if I get something going on in my life or something happening in my thought realm, and like I said in the first one with the mind, put it at the end of a spear and say, is this subject to Christ? And see, when you got that kind of a belief system, I can't believe what people will believe. Well, maybe this is okay. Maybe that's all right. Well, you know what? Put it at the end of the spear and see if it's okay. See, I've got an absolute truth belief system right here. You know, I believe this, and I've got a system of truth. It says 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. So here, praise Jesus, we got a belief system. We got something we can hold on to that literally can change those toxic things in our minds and cause us to walk in emotional health. Number four, meditation. Church always thought, what a bad word. And yet there's lots of meditation in the Bible. The subconscious mind learns by repetition. Let me give you one that we've been hearing for years. Global warming. And now Al Gore is heating his house with all the books he couldn't sell. I believe in global warming. Of course you do. You heard it over and over and over and over and over again. And so you believe that. Some people don't. There's people with different opinions. How many believe that? I don't even want to see a show of hands. I don't want to do that because we still want Cheryl to like you. So anyways, but the subconscious mind learns by repetition. You know, you can hear things over and over enough. And I mean, that is really what some organizations do. They just keep on telling you an untruth over and over and over again until that replaces even reality. Do you know there's still a flat earth society today? You can belong to the Flat Earth Society. There's people who actually go to clubs all over the place, and they go and celebrate that we believe the Earth is flat. Now, it's total nonsense. But you know what? They hang out with each other, so they become inundated, they become insulated in their own little world, and they all believe their own little narrative, and it's nonsense. But you know what? You got to meditate on the right stuff, focus on the right stuff. Romans 10:10, for what the heart, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me say confession. Say confession. Confessions and affirmations will never reach your subconscious unless they're connected to belief. If you don't actually believe that, it doesn't matter how many times you say it, it's not going to connect. So you got to really believe that. You got to have it. It's got to be a belief and a confession. And you got to speak it with your mouth. Another slide, Joshua 1 verse 8. Here's what it says. It's coming up right now as I speak. There it is. Bang. It's right there now. It's coming right now. Today. Yes, it is. Joshua 1 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Say your mouth. Whose mouth? Pastor's mouth. My mother's mouth. Fred's mouth. Bob's mouth. Your mouth. The only way you're going to change your world is through your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Your you. It's got an awful lot to do with you. God's already committed to your success. He has already voted yes, success, blessing, health, peace. Yes for you. What do you say? See, when you believe that God is faithful in what he said, that's why we sing songs like, you are faithful, you are true, you will never leave me, you will always be there. Therefore, whatever you've said over me or concerning me, why are we singing those things? Because we're trying to get rid of toxic trees. Amen. All right, number five. Did I say number five? All right, I'm catching up with myself. Number five. Did I go to five? Yeah, I said it. Number five, love, 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 love. The Beatles got it right, right? All you need is love. Ba-ba-da-da-da. All you need is love. Ba-ba-da-da-da. All you need is love is all you need. Beatles 1-1. Carolyn Leaf said, I read it earlier, but Carolyn Leaf said, love scientifically. Scientifically, they have seen now, and they are proving that scientifically, love literally wipes out fear. How amazing is that? Look at this. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Then you got 1 John 4:8, God loves you. No, God is love. When you got a relationship with God, you really believe who he is and you really embrace that. And that's why we sing over and over again, I am a child of God and he loves me. These are incredible themes to change your whole world. Amen. All right, give me another slide. John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. All right, now what's Jesus saying to you? Cheer up. Now, when was he saying it? Here's the context, all right? He's here in the upper room. He's having the Last Supper with his fellas, and he told them several times during this meal that, guys, things are going to get ugly. In fact, I'm going to be separated from you, and you guys are going to be scattered, and you're going to run away. But listen, something really ugly is going to happen in your world tomorrow. It's going to freak you out. But listen, cheer up. What? So, I mean, their heads are like swimming with, what is he talking about? What is going on? They had no idea that by that time, the next day, they would have seen their master taken from them. They would have seen him beaten to a pulp. They would have seen him stripped of everything. And they would have seen him crucified on a tree as a lump of flesh and their whole world taken from them within a day. And you know what he said in the face of that to them? Cheer up. I got people right now all over the internet and ministers and people in pulpits. It's getting ugly. It's getting bad out there. Lord God, get us out of here. Hallelujah. These are the last days. They're your last days for sure. These are the last days. And we got to be careful and blah, blah, blah. I read my Bible. I checked out all the last day scriptures. It says, in the last days, the Lord's house shall be exalted over every other house and all nations will flow to it. That's a last day scripture. I got some last day scripture. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. All the earth flooded with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. That is a last day scripture. I don't know why they get left out all the time and we think everything's going to be a mess. You know what? We have to stand up today because there's people contending for Christianity right now, losing their heads, giving their lives right now for Christianity. And we in North America, like, get us out of here quick. No way. Their blood cries out for redemption. Their blood cries out that glory is going to fill this earth. I don't care if you cut my head off. God is true and his glory is going to fill this land. No matter what you do to me, God is going to have his way. That's the truth. And that's what they're standing for. And they'd be horrified to know that our brothers and sisters in North America saying, get us out of here. Here's my charts and graphs. Here it is. Here's what's going on. Oh, Jesus, get us out of here. Get me in there. Put me in the game. Empower me with all you have. These are the days of great things. That's all attitude. That's all perspective. That's your belief system and your values. And it affects your emotion and how you respond to those things. Because you don't have confidence that God is going to win this in a big way. You know what he said? He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you know what? That word is still relevant right now. Right now. Well, I don't know if he's overcome the world. There's a lot of stuff overcoming the world, but it doesn't look like God. Cheer up! Sorry, was I shouting? Turn to your neighbor and say, cheer up. Don't send me those emails anymore. You can send me cheer up emails and God is good emails and God's going to take over the world emails. But let's not propagate the nonsense that we got to get out of here. There's too many people giving everything right now for it. And who do we think we are to say, oh, get my rapture boots, please. Woo! Woo! I'm practicing at home. Okay, sorry about that. Probably messed with a few people's belief systems there. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let me give you another scripture. I'm going to wrap it up. Say, wrap it up, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Wrap it up. My clock says it's almost 12:30, so there's a trap door opens at 12:30, so I got to be careful. Two disciples walking away from their destiny. What happened? Jesus said, cheer up. They didn't get the message. Instead of cheering up, they left. They started walking away to Emmaus. Emmaus means warm bath. Warm bath, what's that sound like? Sounds a little bit like lukewarm. Two people walking away from their destiny. They didn't get the message. Something ugly is going to happen, but cheer up. Even though it's going to get messy, cheer up. I've overcome the world. No matter what you see, don't be dominated by that because I have overcome the world. Well, don't look like you're overcoming the world right now. Jesus, look at you. You're a pile of mess. You're just hanging there. Oh, my God, you've overcome. Don't look like it. Cheer up. Cheer up. It ain't done yet. Cheer up. Cheer up. See, it says Jesus drew near to them when they were walking away. It says he came alongside of them. He said, as he's walking there, he said, why are you so sad? Why are you so many Christians sad today? Why are you so sad? Why are you so sad? They said, we were hoping this would happen, and we were hoping that would happen. We thought he was going to redeem all of Israel. But you see, that image of Jesus dead hanging on the cross, that became a tree in their minds that caused them to emotionally walk away from their destiny. And folks, there's a lot of you right now allowing things in your life to affect you emotionally. There's things in your subconscious that you need to confront and say, no, I'm not going to believe that way. There's values that you need to confront and say, no, I'm not going to believe that way. You see, Jesus said he even confronted them, and he said, oh, foolish ones. I mean, that's pretty harsh, isn't it? Jesus said, oh, foolish ones. He said, oh, foolish and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Then he opened the prophetic word. It says he went right from the beginning to the end. He taught them revelation. He poured out his heart. Then he broke bread and he revealed himself in the breaking of the bread. And then they went, whoa! And then you know what they did? With joy and rejoicing, they went all the way back into Jerusalem and they told their brothers, he's alive! He's alive! He's alive! You know what that tells me? No matter where you are, Jesus is going to catch up with you. No matter where you are at emotionally, no matter how hard it is, no matter what situation you find yourself in, Jesus is going to catch up with you. He's running up alongside of you, and he's going to confront those areas in your life. He's going to say, come on, here's what the word says. Here's what it says. Here's what's happening. Here's what's really going on. And he's going to confront those things in your subconscious that limit you from walking in the joy of the Lord. I think I got one more slide, just one. Psalm 35, verse 9. And my soul, speaking to myself now, you ready? Soul, my soul, what shall my soul do? My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. Arr. You know, that gets an attitude. See, when you confess that stuff over you all the time, people go, what are you so happy about? What's going on with you? I mean, everybody else is terrified, they're glum. Well, you know what? I wake up every day and I say, my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. So what did we talk about today? We talked about how to get free of toxic emotions, how to not be ruled by those things. They pop out when you least expect it. You know, you can take authority over that. You can rewrite those things. You can change those things. And God's given you authority. He's given you emotions, and they're a good thing. It's good to have emotions because joy, I will be joyful. I will rejoice. All emotions. But you see, you can have emotions that are rooted in fear, or you can have emotions that are rooted in love. Root your emotions always in love. God is love, and perfect love drives out all fear. Say amen. This is a huge subject, a huge topic. Barely scratched the surface of the thing. But you can be free, mind, will, and emotions completely free. And next week, we're going to talk about getting your body free. And how many know that we really want to have a sickness-free zone around here? Bring your sickness with you. It's okay. How many have successfully been sick? I have. Successfully happened to me once or twice. But you know what? Bring it with you. And we're going to learn together to confront this, because we're going to walk in life. We're going to walk in health. You know what it says? It says that, beloved, I pray that you be in health and that you prosper, even as your soul prospers. That's why if we're going to get the body, first of all, we had to address your mind, we had to address your will, and we had to do your emotions, because as Mrs. Leaf said, she's a doctor, she studied it out, your memories and your emotions are inseparable, and your emotions have 87% to do with sickness. So that means those toxic trees have to be confronted in your life. How many are going to confront some trees this week? How many got some stuff, you know what, I need to deal with some things, and it's your responsibility to do it. And God will do it, and he's empowered you to do it. Come on, stand up with me. Father, we bless you. What a day, what a day, what a day. Amen. I'm almost tempted to have a Sunday night service again. No, sorry, I said I was almost tempted. So, can you bow your heads, close your eyes just one second? Just want to quickly ask, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you need to know him. He's the greatest mentor. He's the greatest belief system. He's the greatest value. He's the way, the truth, the life. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to know him today. And so I'm going to ask you right now, if you don't know him, I can lead you in a prayer and you can know Jesus as your Savior. Begin that journey with us. So all over the house right now, if you don't know Jesus, I'm just going to count to three. And if you don't know him and you want to, just put your hand up really high so I can see it. Are you ready? One, two, three. Just right now, just lift up your hand really high so I can see it. Really high, really high. Awesome. You know what that tells me? We need to invite more friends to church. All right. So can you do something? I'm going to ask those who are going to be ministering at the altar today if you could come. If you're ministering and you're in the prayer ministry, if you come right now or not. I mean, you know. You, oh, there. Yep. These folks are ready to pray for you, minister you. Maybe something got unpacked with you today and you realize I got some toxic trees, and maybe I thought I was helpless and I could never really confront that or deal with it. There's things that's just always the way I'll be. It's not true. You can get some help today. You can be ministered to. You can get prayer today. So these people are here to minister to you and to pray for you. So if you need prayer today, please come. But I'm going to bless you. I'm going to minister to you. I'm just going to ask the Lord's blessing to be upon you right now. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for all that we experienced today. Thank you for Judah, and thank you for the privilege as the body of Christ of dedicating that young life to you. Thank you for that beautiful gift for Ernie and for Leslie. And Father, we thank you for Deanna and for Drew. We just thank you for the ministry they have. What an amazing picture of God taking that what's in your hand. What's in your hand? What's in your hand, Drew? Well, it's a skateboard. It's amazing how God can take that and he can reach a whole generation through what's in your hand. Father, I pray that ministers to everyone here. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that, you know, your word tells us that we can have our souls purified through your word and through properly thinking and addressing. I pray, Lord, for people here that Lord, we wouldn't allow toxic things to remain in our mind. We wouldn't allow hurts and other issues and things there to really frame the way we respond to the world. That our attitude, our PR person is going to be love. It's going to be grace. It's going to be confidence in God. I'm a child of God. So Father, I pray in Jesus' name that, you know, a sermon's not going to do it, but we need to personally begin to address and begin to rewrite those things in our mind to get healthy attitudes and thought patterns there that'll manifest the goodness of God. So thank you that we are free, mind, will, and emotions. Who the Son set free is free indeed. So thank you for freedom on each and every one. Lord, I bless this house. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I pray the richest blessing on each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have an awesome day. I can see the sun still shining out there. Come on, the altars are open.